Amen. Father, we just thank you for all these wonderful people that we, when we get together, it's just an awesome time together. We thank you for the love that you've put in our hearts for each other and for you, because we know it's the love of Christ. And we praise you, Father, for the things that are going to be brought out tonight. We ask that you lead us and guide us into the revelations of the renewed mind. And Lord, we just thank you that it will be a blessing to all who listen. And Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that we do have an open heaven, that you hear our prayers. And not only do you hear them, you act on them. And we praise you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, it makes no difference how long it takes. Father, we thank you for that. Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Okay. I have a praise report. Hey, Edward. I have a praise report from Monroe. As a matter of fact, we prayed for his boy to have a friend. Oh, let's see. 2 or 3 years ago, I forget. And they had a 13-year-old Christian guy moved in with his 13-year-old son, and they go to homeschool together, and they're just the greatest of friends now. It's just an awesome pair up with them. You know, one's 13, the other one's 10, but there's not hardly many children in that area, so they just hooked up with each other, and they're loving God and loving each other, and they're just having a great time, them two boys. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for answering Monroe's prayers and our prayers with him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anyone else got a prayer request or a testimony? Yeah, Marilyn.
Okay. I've got a prayer request. We had some real nice neighbors here that lived here just a couple doors down from us for 12 years. And this prayer request is for their, and we knew their daughter as well. She's our daughter's age. So she was living with them most of the time they lived here. And this prayer request is for her son, the daughter's son. And our neighbors were the grandparents of this little boy. And to cut to the chase, he's like 6 or 7 years old. And he got a COVID booster shot, and they gave him the wrong dose. And little boy is really, really sick. High fever, throwing up, very lethargic. So, Father, go ahead.
He ran a fever too.
So, Father, we want to pray for Bentley. We want to pray for Bentley. We want to pray for his parents and his grandparents. Father, we stand on the scripture, Father, that says, I will bless those that bless you. Father, this family was a great blessing to us. They weren't believers, but they were very moral, very kind, and they treated us very well. Just blessed us in a number of ways in the 12 years that they were our neighbors here. And Melissa too. So Father, based on that, we pray and command this fever, this vomiting, this lethargy, and Father, just all the damage done to this little boy by this booster shot. We command it to be null and void in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. His blood is cleansed. His blood is clear. And Father, that it's going to be a great testimony. A great testimony, Father, that the doctor said that they couldn't do anything for the little boy. All they could do is just wait and see. Well, Father, praise God. We just thank you and praise you for the love of Christ in our hearts, the compassion, the mercy, of Christ in our hearts and the healing virtue that flows from the throne of grace for healing this little boy. And Father, I also want to further pray. I'm bold to ask that the verse that says, when the judgments are in the land, the people learn righteousness. And Father, that this situation is going to cause this whole family to turn to Christ. They're going to be crying out to you from the depths of their hearts. I pray an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Father, to allow them to repent and believe, to grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation of the knowledge of Christ, and that they're going to know that they need you, that what they did out of ignorance, Father, that they don't want to be being led by their own understanding, that they want to be led of the Lord, and they want the mind of Christ, and they want a God that they can depend on. And Father, I pray that they will start doing some research and the Holy Spirit will lead them to see how bad these vaccines are. And as much as they were in favor of this vaccine, they're going to come to a standstill even tonight. And they're just going to back up and they're going to be shouting the truth and telling everybody they know how bad this stuff is so that others can know as well. And Father, that you're going to turn this for good. You're going to turn this for good, Father, and you're able to do exceeding and abundantly more than we can ask or think. And Father, I speak their names before you, Tammy and Kirk, the grandparents, and Melissa and Jordan, the parents, and this little Bentley, this little boy. Come into the kingdom. Come into the kingdom and come in now. And to the glory of Jesus, that this is going to end up being a glorious testimony. And I thank you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. And I hook my faith up with Marilyn's. And I believe everything that she prayed is coming to pass, even as we speak. And I thank you, Father, that you have already broke the power of Satan off of Bentley right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your healing power is going through his little body right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for a complete miracle on Bentley that would draw in many people into the kingdom because of it. And I praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I praise you. Glory, hallelujah, that you're doing this for young Bentley in Jesus' name, and his mother and daddy and his grandparents. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. Everybody just shut your eyes and just imagine him coming off of that bed of affliction saying that God did this. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. God did this, and I praise you, Father. The angels coming down and touching him and cleansing him of all of this garbage in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that it's going to turn this family around and the people around him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. My, 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 my. I believe it. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, Missy.
Merle found out yesterday that his brother Dale, that I had mentioned about, that had gone into the hospital. He has esophagus cancer. And that's what Merle's one other brother died of. And they both, I don't know how long it's been, but Dale used to smoke. And anyway, they put a stent in to help him eat, and now I think he can drink stuff all right, but as far as swallowing food, I don't think he can very well. Anyway, they found cancer in both his lungs too. So so Father, I just ask you to turn this around for salvation, Lord. Like I've prayed before, Lord, that you just draw Dale to you, Lord, and that he truly repent and believe in you, Lord, and that he knows that just because he goes to church or used to go to church, I don't know where he stands with you, Lord, but I've never seen anything that makes me think that he's really saved, Lord. And so, Lord, I just ask, Lord, that whenever he leaves this life, Lord, that it be when he's ready to go and be with you. In Jesus' name. And then Merle also found out about his nephew, Hunter. It's 27 that I had said about that's been on dialysis now, probably for over 8 weeks, I'm thinking now at this point. And it wasn't helping him the last I had heard, but apparently he only has 8% function of his kidneys, and he's on kidney transplant list. And I was telling Eve about it when I was there, and she said he should be pretty close to the top, because young people like that, they put on the top of the list. So, but Lord, you're the healer, Lord, and Lord, I just ask you that this whole situation turn out to salvation, and you be glorified in it, Lord, and that you show your miraculous work in this situation, Lord, and I'm believing for a miracle that. We just tell those kidneys to function in the name of Jesus and to be healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that all will know that it was you, Lord, and you get the praise, and it brings salvation to many in the family. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
His name, Missy?
Hunter.
Hunter.
Thank you, Lord, that you're going to use this to bring salvation to Hunter and many in the family. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Did you say his kidney or?
Kidneys.
Kidneys, okay. Both of them?
It's saying that way. Oh, and Merle said apparently it's hereditary. They said it's hereditary and it must come from his father's side because it's not on his mother's side. So. And I kind of think his father's maybe wrong. I don't know how much he's been in his life. I know it's a pretty bad situation, if I recall correctly. The boys were, because he has a twin brother, the boys were pretty little. I think when their mom and dad got divorced. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing Hunter along. Is he a Christian?
I really don't know. I don't know. I really don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, they went to church with their mom when they were little. I don't know. You know, I heard stories about that when their mom passed away. But it's a really apostate church. During the funeral, I was just like so grieved to hear the things that I heard. So,
okay. All right. Now, let's just pray for him. Father, we just thank you that Hunter, you're going to utilize this, Lord, to bring Hunter into the kingdom in a mighty way, Father. And we thank you for the fruit that he's going to bear too, because he's going to be a mighty man of God. as you heal him. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Hunter in and making a mighty man of God out of him. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I command that kidney to be healed in Jesus' name. Both of them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, George, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Good. I want an agreement for a young lady named Crystal here in Maine, and her mother works with me, and I've for 14 years, I bet, every time I see this mom, she always asks me, George, how's your family doing? And it's just small talk until today. She asked me how my family was doing. I asked about hers, and she told me that her daughter has cervical cancer and going whatever to the doctors and something. I just felt like it was, you know, sometimes I have to get knocked upside the head to, anyway, it just felt like the normal routine to break the routine and then plop this in front of me. It just felt like God wants to, he wants to show the doctors and he wants to show this family and show favor to this girl. And it just seems like a, I don't know how to explain it, you know, just a special case. And obviously, you all, we can chase thousands and thousands by agreeing and coming together. And I just lift up Crystal, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that this state of Maine, they call it the most unchurched state in the Union here in America. And I believe that where darkness abounds, your grace does much more abound. So Father, I thank you that when I prayed with her today, that you honored faith and just a little bit of boldness to bring you into full focus for this family, Father. So I know that you will get all the glory for the finished work of Christ, for what he did for us, what he paid for our healing, Father. So I thank you for releasing your healing into Crystal's body and confounding these doctors, Lord, so that there's only one answer on everybody's lips in this situation, and it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's not even another word that will come to anybody's mind besides God did this. This is Jesus. So, Father, I thank you and glorify you and thank you for good reports. And I expect news of this blessing to chase people down in this state and that the light of the gospel will continue to grow here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I say, yes, Lord, we just thank you for this light that you've turned on in Crystal. And we praise you, Father, that she's going to be a light for you. And many people will come. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for this, this lady, Crystal, young lady, I guess. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Yeah, Marilyn. Oh, you're praising God. Okay. All right. I thought so. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone else? Lord, I thank you that this seemingly coming shutdown, lockdown across the world, that you would show your people strong and that they would have bold faith to believe for electricity, communications, when everybody else doesn't have it, that they would be the light that people would ask about and they'd be able to explain to them where that light comes from. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to take care of us no matter what. We believe it. We stand on your word. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, Joe, they're claiming it may happen all over. So It's not just there, looks like. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request or a testimony? Did you raise your hand, Joe? You may speak, brother.
Yep. I just want to big thank you for the Lord. On Wednesday, my time, morning, during the Bible study, I asked Michael about, Jesus asked about spreading the gospel and making disciples. Well, that's just the background. On Wednesday night Bible study, after David finished, Michael started to be his part of a Bible study. And he says, I paraphrase, I'm not sure, but he said, David do an in-depth study on faith, but he's only going to do it from a personal view. And it's on a PDF on Real Good News. So I open up Real Good News and I just leave it there till Michael is finished with his teaching. When I start, after that, I started reading it. The first thing David was talking about, the same thing I asked Michael that morning. He showed the difference between the two and a little bit more depth in that. So it's just amazing how good our Father is.
It's God.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Anybody else? Amen. Show did. Okay. Well, as yes, Pat, go ahead.
I need to make a confession here. This weekend, I got into some poison ivy, and at least I think it was. I didn't see anything. But my body started reacting, and I started going down that path. And this came on relatively harsh or quick. And this time my eyes started swelling up and closing up. And I was already starting to bleed, not bleed, but seep, you know, from my wounds, shall we say. It comes up really quick. So I'm on a job right now, and the thought was coming to me about the clients are watching, you know, or seeing this, and if I'm walking around bleeding, you know, it's probably not a good sign. But anyway, to cut to the chase, I really struggled with the thing to claiming the truth of my healing, etc. And it was still continuing to go. And so I basically bailed and went over to urgent care and got their pills or whatever to neutralize it. But the thought that came to me this morning the scripture, I haven't even looked it up yet. Haven't had time to even look it up, but the scripture of my mind stayed upon Christ. And I think that there's still some, you know, I'm sitting here in the midst of everybody praising God and trusting and receiving healing and everything. And for this particular healing, it seems like I am struggling. And so I'm basically confessing of my failure right now. But I'm also asking for prayer that the Lord would show me. Now, the thought came to me after I noticed that when I was at work and heavy into the figuring things out and doing whatever and devising this and calculating this and all this sort of thing that's related to my work, it doesn't bother me. I'm not affected by it. But when I stop and pause, then it's like itching is, it's like all over, you know, my legs and, you know, now my eyes, it starts swelling up and itching and behind my ears and all, it just, it's crazy. So I know that the Lord wants me to stand on faith, wants me to stand on his truth. And there's something, and I believe I've said this before in confession about this same thing, probably. There's something I'm missing. And so I'm asking, and I believe that the Lord is going to show me. And when it's all said and done, I have to know what it is. I have to be able to stand in confidence. And for some reason, something is undercutting that. So I'm asking for prayer specifically for that. And I'm trusting the Lord that he's going to show me. And I think it's related to that my mind stayed upon Christ. And so that's what my prayer is and confession and praying for right now. So.
Amen. I think you'll probably get some answers tonight, hopefully. At least I think you will, as we go over some stuff. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command these poison ivy to leave Pat supernaturally in the name of Jesus. Your word says, 1 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes, he's already been healed 2,000 years ago. And Father, I thank you that put it in Pat to believe that in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that he's doing it right now. And I praise you, Father. He's not going to think about it anymore because he knows it's done. He's trusting you, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It's done.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Okay. Yeah, Andrea, go ahead.
Michael, I would just like you all to just have faith for us and pray for our family. We are going away this weekend. We haven't been away as a family in quite a long time. And I saw on the weather prediction now that there's apparently a lot of snow coming. And I would really like to go on this holiday with my family, and I don't want the highways to close down, that we won't be able to go or come back home. If anyone, you could just have, please pray for us that everything okay. will work out well. Yes.
We command the weather to be sunshiny wherever they go in Jesus' name on this holiday, Lord. And we praise you for keeping the weather completely open for Andre and Edwin and all of their family. We praise you, Father, that no storms no snow, no nothing will interfere with this vacation. And I thank you for it, Father, that they're going to be praising you for it too. They're going to have sunshine when they leave, sunshine while they're gone, and sunshine when they come home. And Father, we praise you for that. Just to show us, Lord, that you do love us. And I praise you, Father. You said we have dominion. We're going to exert that dominion and command the weather to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe it. Glory to God. That's right. Amen. All right. Anyone else? It's done deal, girl. Y'all just pack up and go. It's gone. It's ready. All right. The other night, we had talked about, or when was it? Yesterday, I guess. Or the day before, or when it was, I had decided, wanted to talk a little more. We had talked about mind renewal before, but I don't think we got into it as much as I would have liked to. And I think I'll start by saying a few things that I wrote down, and then we'll go from there. In the only way that we can have a mind renewal, of course, is we have to be born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then we have Romans 12 and 2, and it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's the only verse in the Bible that tells you how to have your life transformed. There ain't no other way. That's it. It's to renew your mind. And most people, just to be a little blunt here, most people won't do what it takes to renew their minds. It's not that they can't or cannot, it's that they will not. It takes a lot of dedication and surrender to the Lord to renew your mind to what he wants you to be like, us, all of us to be like. When your mind was created, it was created to think like God in alignment with how God thinks. When man fell, Adam's mind was working just like God's mind worked, because Adam was made in his image, wasn't he? And if Adam was made in his image, he was thinking just like God. So if you're going to think with the mind of Christ, that means your brain has to work, function the way the mind of Christ functions. And the mind renewal is the restoration of the mental faculties of a Christian to the state that God originally intended man to operate in. Mind renewal is renovating the mind of a Christian by removing information, patterns, mindsets, attitudes, and limitations that wouldn't be found in the mind of Christ. The renewing of the Christian mind is the restoration of the Christian mind into a state of continuous harmony and synchronization with the mind of Christ. And the only way that you can prove the will of God is to have your mind renewed. And mind renewal is getting rid of all the unbelief. I can't read my own writing. They're getting rid of all the unbelief so that you will not be double-minded and can walk in pure faith. How many of you know when you have the mind of Christ, you're walking in pure faith? And so having said that, I'll tell you something else that I did. I went down and I asked, David and I had a discussion about that, and he agreed with everything that I said. And I asked him, I said, do you have a teaching on how to renew your mind? Now, I had also told him that I believe his confession is one way to do it. He agreed. And confession is, and he brought up the book. He brought this book here up. He said, this is the one you need. The tongue conquers the curse. That's what he's talking about. What we have to do is to break down those strongholds that we have accumulated from birth up till now that keeps us from walking in that pure faith that God wants us to walk in. And the pure faith, of course, is just believing the word. And the only way to get that done is to take and meditate on the word and confess who you are in Christ and to confess the word all the time. When some of you may be like I used to be, it's just read this in about 2 or 3 days, you know, set it back down. Instead of going through it, these books, these studies that we have, looking at them, meditating on them, the verses and what has been said about them, and breaking down those strongholds that we've accumulated in the years that we've been alive. And that's the only way. That's what a stronghold is. It's something that's in your mind that keeps you from doing what God wants you to do. And walk and talk like. When our mind is completely renewed and walking like Jesus, no sickness, nothing other than Jesus. Jesus had none. He didn't worry about it. He knew that he was already healed. He knew that he was delivered. He knew that nothing couldn't happen to him unless the Father did it. And he made a way for us to where we don't have to worry about it other than speaking the word, talking the word, and walking the word. Now, that's just a little precursor to what really needs to go on tonight. Now, has anybody else got something they'd like to say about mind renewal? Let me say one other thing before you do. When Einstein died, Albert Einstein, when he died, they said he had a small brain. But they said that, I got to get this right. They said that his brain had a bunch. It was just like a nest of neurons in there. And that's the information circuit. I guess that's what they call it. But he did have a small brain, but it was full of the good stuff, whatever the good stuff is. I'm sorry I didn't have the correct thing of that, but I thought that was awesome testimony that it's not the brain that mounts, that cares. It's what you put in the brain. Okay, did somebody want to comment, or Andrew? I thought I saw you reaching for it. Yeah, I did. I saw you.
Okay. It actually happened on the last Bible study. Near the very end of the Bible study, he said something about the milk of the word and the meat of the word. And I was taught really wrong about that because if the preachers were teaching me, and I never heard it said before the way you said it, that the milk of the word is your preaching and all the stuff you can learn, and but it's the actual doing of the word. That's the meat of the word. You know, they told me the meat of the word was something hard to understand. And, you know, when you're trying to maybe figure something out spiritual that they're trying to say to you. And it's just not that, you know. The milk of the word is the stuff you learn, the stuff they teach to you, and the stuff they preach to you. But the actual force or the deed of actually allowing the word to function through you as an action is the meat of the word, to stick to it, to have that, to not get a hardened heart, you know, let the Holy Spirit have its function through the word, through you. And I'm just thinking about that now, because it kind of blocks a lot of stuff with it, to say the meat of the word is something hard to understand, where it is just to have that plain, simple faith to believe that God said it, and it should happen, and it's a promise. And just to have that deed to do what the word says, what he said, because he doesn't lie. And I really noticed that some of the studies are really very, very encouraging lately, and very very powerful studies. And like both of them, with what David Eales was talking about, and what Michael encouraged us with too on faith. So I thank God for that, that he cleared that up out of my head. So that could have been a partial hindrance or something, and now it's not there anymore. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. I'll tell you something else that I was talking to someone about either day or yesterday, I don't remember. But my opinion is that double-mindedness is being born again and not renewing your mind. Now you have to think about it, but all right. Anybody else got something they'd like to add to the mind renewing? You know, mind renewing is different than what we've been taught in the past, just like Andrew was talking about. I'm going to let George go ahead. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the word repent, that repentance is changing our mind and doing a 180 basically from what our natural mind tries to go with. And when we're faced with the word, we have to choose the mind of Christ. We have to choose something that overrules and is much better than our natural thoughts or our self-preservation or everything that seeks for us to take the easy way out. Jesus didn't say it was easy. He said it was his burden was light, but it's a straight path, and few there are that find it, basically. So when we discipline our mind, when we have a well-disciplined mind, then we don't say yes to the easy way. We say the word rules. The word is my master, and I'm going to disregard all the other voices that try to talk me out of complying with the word. So when the word takes its proper place in our heart, and we allow our mind to line up, and we shed off anything, and we take captive every thought that tries to buck the word, and we do what the Bible tells us to do, we just follow instructions, then we aren't transgressors, because the way of the transgressor is hard. And we find that we're taking the easy way by denying self and saying yes to the word and letting our mind become disciplined. And It's that time alone. It's that encouragement from other people that straightens us out. It's that mild rebuke in a spirit of meekness that we say, you know what, I can be wrong, and wherever I'm wrong, I want to be corrected. And it's that always, that willingness to be lorded over and be fathered by God. So I just wanted to, you know, I was thinking about repentance, how much that has to do with our minds being renewed. That's all I got.
Amen. It does. It does. Go ahead, David.
I was just, I had a couple of verses I thought on when you mentioned that. I thought, okay, well, I wanted to go through a few verses that would help with understanding the renewing of the mind. And, you know, today the Lord initially brought me into Genesis, and it was with the fall, with Cain killing Abel. And I could see real quick, and I was thinking about, you're talking about renewing the mind. Here's where the mind, you're seeing the mind not being renewed in any way. You're seeing it going the opposite way, 180 degrees from renewal, when you see the brother kill the one other brother. And it was for jealousy, for anger. And then he gets Cain's seed, and Cain become reprobated from God from that day forward. And this no more had any connection with God. There was a break. But right after that, in Genesis 25, it says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. And for she said, God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, for Cain slew him. And it says, and to Seth, to him there was born a son, and he called his name Enosh. Then men became to call upon the name of the Lord. I think the first thing in mind renewal is calling upon the name of the Lord. It's going to the Lord all the time. It's constantly renewing your mind in prayer and seeking the Lord in your life and seeking him. Well, you know, he can be found in all things, in all things. And we do that with our prayer for each other and others and for ourselves and in our own Bible study. That's going to be your premise of start right there for a renewing mind, is seeking the Lord, starting there. And then I came across this and I thought about it. And I remember David talking about this, and that's why it stuck in my head. In Philippians 4:2, it said, I exhort Euodia and Syntus, and I exhort Syntus to be of the same mind in the Lord. And Euodia means fine traveling in the Greek, and Syntus means to meet with an accident. And the Lord saying, these two, you're supposed to meet the Lord in the same way. With you're having a great day and things are great, you're being blessed by the Lord, or you meet with an accident and things are going bad, but you're still supposed to be the same mind of the Lord. You're meeting it the same time, the same way. You haven't changed. You're not being stirred by, hey, things are great, or things are bad, and I'm being punished, or things are great, and the Lord loves me. No, you're having the same mind on both. And the person I think that had the greatest example of how that happened, I mean, you think about this guy. Think about this, and I'm going to read it. It's Job. And it fell on that day while his sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their oldest brother's house, there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell on them and took them away, and yea, the servants slayed with his sword, and I escaped. And prior to that, his sons and daughters were eating in the house, and the house fell on them and destroyed them. And while he was there, another kid said, the fire from God came down to heaven and burned up the sheep, and the servants consumed them, and I only wanted to come here to escape alone to tell you. And while he was speaking, yet another came and said, the Chadeans made their three bands, and they fell upon the camels and have taken away and slain the servants with the edge of sword, and I'm only one to escape to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another ran up to him and says, your sons and daughters, while they're eating, drinking in your oldest son's house, and behold, a great wind from the wilderness smote all four corners of the house and fell upon the young men, and they were all dead. And I only escaped to tell you. Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell down on the ground, and worshipped. And he said, naked I come out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all that, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. You think, wow, here we got, this guy's got a renewed mind. And he had all these terrible things strike him all at one time, and he praised the Lord, and he blessed the Lord, he worshiped God. And that's a renewed mind of Christ. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And he says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Again, we're seeking the Lord. We're going to the Lord all the time. We're renewing our spirit and our mind. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, what things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So we got to keep on reminding ourselves that this is our path. This is where we stay. We can't let good times or bad make us feel we're either doing great or doing bad. We got to be in the same mind of all things, just like Job, and worship God. We got to seek the Lord every day. I mean, be like Enosh, the chosen seed. You know, we're seeking the Lord, and then being our Isaacs. And our Jacobs and our Abrahams, you know, continuing that faith, that calling the things that are not as though they were. That's how we renew our mind. That's how we stay on task. And we just got to not ever be satisfied with where we are at. We got to keep on going back to the Word, keep on going back to the Word, trying to get it down inside of our hearts, inside of our who we are, and let it, the Lord change and renew us daily. And if he speaks to our minds and our hearts and tells us, oh, you got to correct this or you got to do that. You know, listen to what the Lord says and heed and obey. And that's the other thing, obedience. Obedience to the Lord. You know, a lot of people that aren't obedient, they listen, but they aren't obeying. Or they hear and they don't do. And that's not going to go well in your life. So the obedience to the Lord and what he tells you individually and how we're, you know, progressing in our lives, you know, that the way you are obedient to the Lord and how well you follow what he says for you to do is how well you're going to be able to be obedient and help others in their lives too. Because if you can't walk with the Lord and stay on target and on task with him, you're not going to be able to minister to others. It's not going to be there. And that's not like you're always on a spot having to minister to everybody that walks up to you. But when a time comes, you know, if you're being submitted to the Lord, you know, that's going to come through and others are going to benefit from what you're doing. And they're going to see that you're on the right path and they're going to want to be on that path too. And then it's going to, you know, talk to their spirits. And you may not be able to change everybody at one moment. Like I talked to a guy today. He's been off work now for 3 years. He had to retire because he came down with some disease. And for the short time I got to talk to him, because he was pretty rebellious, pretty person, his life, his dad, you know, just kind of wild. But this is, you know, whenever you come under severe diseases or ailments that take you out, that usually gets people's attention and they're starting to change and they're starting you know, transform their minds a little bit, and they're starting to call on the Lord. And I started talking to them a little bit about the Lord, and I talked about healing, and I said, we don't have to receive these things, because out of his mouth was, you know, I'm dying. I got this death thing. You know, I said, oh, okay. And they started talking about the Lord a bit. Oh yeah, I'm going to church. I'm going to church now. I says, well, now you got to find out who the Lord really is. I says, he's the one that heals you. He's going to take care of that disease. He's going to, you don't have to receive that in the name of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to let the doctors tell you you have that. And you got to believe what the word says about you. I started talking to him about those things. And of course, I made him feel a little uncomfortable because this isn't kind of conversation he's used to. But, you know, for the short time you can share something, it just keeps people's wheels turning. And they can't maybe receive it all at one time. But you got to be there at the moment to give them enough just to get them started. But you can't even do that if you yourself aren't comfortable with saying it in the first place. So make sure you're comfortable and you know it, you've got these promises too. And then you can share them with others. That's all I have to say.
Amen. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Another little something or other that I put down here is mind renewal is getting rid of all the unbelief so that you will not be double-minded and can walk in pure faith. It's not that you don't know enough about healing. It's that you know too much of the wrong stuff. As you put in truth, that's the word of God, it drives out unbelief. Unbelief is not just not believing. Unbelief is believing the wrong thing. Let me say that again. Unbelief is not just not believing. Unbelief is believing the wrong thing. The carnal mind believes the wrong thing. And that's why mind renewal is imperative in our walk with Christ. And we do that. I'll tell you how I had listened to Lester Sumrall. He has a book and an audio out. I believe it's called Spirit and Soul, or The Vision of Spirit and Soul, or something like that. But he really goes into some mind renewal stuff himself. And I believe it was him that said that you get these words, these promises of who you are in Christ, and you start speaking them, because when you speaking them out loud, you're also hearing them. And that starts to break down strongholds. I have the mind of Christ. I have the body of Christ. And on and on and on. And I have one that I utilize quite regularly. I have been given the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The Holy Spirit fills me completely to overflowing. I am baptized in the Spirit, immersed, influenced, and controlled. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit leads and guides me into all truth, truth that I walk in, holding forth. Those are affirmations of who you are in Christ, and affirmations of faith that you need to speak it and believe it and understand it and get it in your mind. Your spirit's already been renewed. It's your mind that has to be renewed now. And that's why the Lord told us in Romans 12 to do that. All right, anyone else? There you go. Thanks, Greg. Spirit, soul, and body. That used to be, and I guess it still is, a primer for most preachers when they want to talk about renewing the mind. He's had it out for years and years and years, but I think you can get it on PDF if you wanted to. But anyway, that's just one. There's lots more, like the Tone Conquers the Curse. That's another one that teaches you how to do it. And the reason I brought this subject up is it's because I would like for us all to get to that point to where we don't doubt for a minute, for a second, that what we pray or how we walk is not like Jesus wanted us to walk. And that's the only way you're going to do it, is renewing your mind. And like I said before, it takes everything in you to do that. You have to make that your number one priority. We all have to make that, and I'm talking to myself too. We all have to make that a number. What do you do the most? I know some of you have families, and I know some of you have jobs and all of that, but every spare moment ought to be renewing your mind with the Word of God. Anybody else? Well, okay, man, I did a good job, I guess. Anybody else want to add something about renewing your mind? Yes, Patrick.
So I asked the Lord about this last night, I think. And when I get to reading it, I started in verse 12 there. And he says, "And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and ye may prove what is the good and acceptable perfect will of God." When I read that, I thought, and it says, "And be not fashioned." So I realized that it was that statement, that verse was connected with the one before because of the "and" being placed there at the beginning. So I went back and read that one. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," and everybody knows the little saying that if "therefore" is in the verse, you need to go back and find out what the "therefore" is there for. So I went back to the previous chapter, but before I go back there, he says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service." And I didn't have time to look any of these words up, but just the thought that came to me, your spiritual service or your responsibility. And I got to thinking about, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And of course, in those days, they were just, this was the starting point. They were just transitioned from the old covenant to the new covenant, a relationship with God. And the old covenant based upon, had the sacrificing of beasts and animals and presenting them to the Lord. And I got to thinking about that. When the Jews knew that the feasts were coming up and the atonement and all the things that were coming up related to sacrificing presenting their sacrifices to the Lord. And I got to thinking about that little lamb that that the families would raise. And how much value those animals were to them. I'm sure that, in that day and age, animals and took on a different value than what they do to us. To us, it take on, go to a grocery store and buy food and buy meat, and that sort of thing. But animals at that time, lambs and sheep and cows and everything, had a much more valuable connection to them. But I was thinking of that sacrifice. They knew that that animal was being raised, and the one that was perfect out of the group would be the one that would be sacrificed, the lamb sacrificed. And I guess I'm just thinking there of what that represented to them. I mean, they could have been tempted to, take something else, or a lamb that was, broken leg or something like that was useless or whatever. But there was a certain payment involved in that. I mean, it was a sacrifice of something that was worth something to them. And because of that, and because they knew that that animal was going to die, it would no longer be of use or be available for them to use. There's a certain
Pat, are you there? Pat. Patrick. Oh, in the name of Jesus, we command him to come back in Jesus' name. Pat, we lost you. Sounds like he locked up or something. He went out and he'll be back, I guess. Anybody got anything they want to say while he's trying to get back? Amen. Rebuke all interference of the enemy in our communications. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Gina. Here you come. You back with us, Matt or Pat? You got to unmute.
Sorry. Maybe the Lord's trying to shut me up. I'm rambling too much.
No.
What did I? Where did I bail out? I was just trying to make the point about the sacrifice was of value and of great worth to those people, and the Lord is connecting that and bringing back to us, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. And just that connection of that value, that thing of value that purpose or that desire that you had for personal gain or personal gain, let's just say, and it being a living sacrifice to God. And that connected, and its connection with being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's some sort of a connection there in that. I'm not quite sure that I have an explanation for that, but you know, for that connection right now. But there's something there related to that, that personal sacrifice of your living life, and that connection with the transformation of your mind, your renewing of your mind. So I'm just going to stop right there. I kind of lost my train of thought when the internet kicked me off there. So anyway.
Amen. Anybody else? When you renew your mind, here's some of the things that happens. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 27. That you put away, as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxes corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And as most of you probably already know, be ye angry and sin not. David says that they didn't have punctuation in the way they wrote. Be ye angry and sin not is a complete sentence. It means, he said it had a question mark at the end of it. He figured that they had to have a question mark simply because of what he said about anger before. So that's one. And another one was Colossians. Colossians 3, 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake comes the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Wherein you also once walked when you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away? Anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Claire.
Something that I've just noticed is that when I just came to Christ, I didn't even know the depths of my own depravity. So I didn't know how much my mind had to be washed until I started reading all those verses in the Word, and I started hearing David speak about renewing your mind. And one thing that stands out as clear as day is I had just had Mika, and my mother-in-law came to visit. I think it was maybe the first time she came to visit, and she told me of a young girl she knew who had fallen pregnant. She was in her final year of high school. And my immediate thought, I'm confessing, was she can just get an abortion. Like, that was my immediate thought. But I'd already been in Christ for a year. Like, I'd been baptized and seen demons leave and all of that. And when that thought came into my mind, I was like, I felt disjointed. I felt like, why would that come into my mind? I wasn't even really taught evolution at school. Like, I had a Christian biology teacher. So I couldn't really place that thought. And I thought that's when I realized that's how depraved I am, that I would just think of a solution like that, that doesn't even match up with the word, but I'm still walking in this. And I even think I might have said something to my mother-in-law in that kind of way. Like, I wouldn't have been as direct as to say that out loud to her. And she just said to me, you don't fix a sin with another sin. And I remember thinking, well, Lord, show me my sins. Because what if I'm trying to fix things, but I don't even know that they sin? Like, just show me. And it's been a really good walk with him in that he's gentle and he doesn't show you your immense depravity all at once. Like, it's incremental and it's as you can handle it. Like George said, that gentle rebuking and gentle admonition. And it's been a really wonderful walk. And I don't by any means think that I've arrived, but things like apologetics ministries, creation ministries, like Ken Ham's stuff, like all of that's really useful for a person coming who was so entrenched in the world, who doesn't even know that that line of thinking is wrong. That stuff helps you make the case, but the only thing that really changes you is the grace of God to give you that faith to trust what it says in his word. And I'm learning that more and more, and it's a joy. And I'm just grateful that the Lord has been so gracious. I just wanted to share.
Amen. Amen. True words never spoke. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, there are quite a bit of verses. Seems like we highlight a lot of stuff in our Bible. But we're all very familiar with this verse about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where you cast down the reasonings and every high thing that exalted against the knowledge of God. Now God gives you the glory of God's knowledge in your lamp, in your spiritual lamp, in your spiritual temple, and you know what God has given him, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Christ, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. So, you know, that last part there is also stressing, I think it speaks twice, this portion of scripture, to always, even with yourself, to avenge your readiness for obedience. And of course, you know, you should read maybe from 3 down, and, because that's one of the ones, you know, the mind of Christ is very powerful. And he's giving you this. He's saying you can do it. The apostles going to these Corinthians and telling them that they can do this. So we can do this. We're like these Corinthians. They came from a past where they had several gods and goddesses. So their mind must have been filled with a bunch of junk, just like ours is too, from the worldly past that we had, that we have to change it. And, you know, there's the really good verses also in, that everyone loves in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. And I think this one's been quoted a few times on our studies. And it just starts out, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, I think that gives it away. Because we all know what the mystery hid from the ages is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, mind and all. So you just think, I guess, of Jesus as a big brother here and as a fatherly figure whose mind you have, who existing in God's form counted it not on being on an equality with God. We abide in Jesus, and Jesus abides in God. And Jesus also told us that, you know, the first fruit of the Spirit is that love. And we have to grasp that, okay? But emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, death of the cross. And you know that this love that you're supposed to have is this obedience, a love mindset of obedience, and faith, of course, faith that work of love. And you know, he says, if any love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode with him. That means not only just Jesus, but the Father also. Our Father, the creator of heaven and earth, of things seen and unseen, is the one who will make his abode with you. And we know that Jesus went, I go to prepare a place for you. So we have that. People look to this mansion as something they're waiting for, but it's something that he prepared for you. And of course, we know that mansion to be Christ, to be the family of the Father also, in a family of obedience and love, agape style, faith that worketh that love. And the Father's not sparing you this. He's not saying you only have a small portion of it either. I think he gives us a lot more than we can never even fathom, think, or ask. You know, it's just fascinating and wonderful that the Lord would say these things of us and give us this wonderful mindset that the Lord Jesus had that we should emulate. Well, praise God. You know, there's been a lot of places here that it's really, really exciting, you know. And don't forget, he wrote this when he was in prison, converting the people who guarded Caesar. The Praetorian Guard. Like that must have been a real hard-nosed person or something to have to convert someone that high in the Roman aristocracy, because that was just no normal guard. And they were hand-picked, I would say. Well, probably from prestigious families too. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Anthony. Anybody else? I got something down here that Curry Blake wrote. He said, most people spend more time planning their vacation than they do planning their life. You are the conductor of the symphony called your life. God has given you the sheet music, but most people just want a jam session. Shakespeare said, all the world is a stage and we but actors. Be an actor, not a reactor. God has given you the script for the life that he wants you to have. Quit trying to ad-lib or improvise. Stick to the script. I thought that was pretty neat. What's the script? That's the word of God. Anybody else on mind renewal? Yes, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I'd listened to David last night and on Haggai, building God's house revelation. Says important to change your mind is we don't know what God's house would look like without the word of God. We have to start from the building, the foundation, from the foundation up. Then only you can change your mind. Then only you can see what's wrong with your house, what you were living in, or your spiritual house, what you were living in. Then only you will know your spiritual house, what you're living in. Clearing my out.
Joe was listening to a study from David about Haggai, and David had mentioned that when you're building the house, you need a good foundation. You don't know what the house is going to look like unless you have a good foundation. And once you have that, you will know what was wrong with the house, spiritual house you were living in, so that it can be corrected and you can live in the house God has intended for you. Which reminds, I want to add one thing, Joe. It reminds me of Shepherd of Hermas when they're building the tower. Oh, thank you. It's blessed me.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Good word. Not that David ever gives a bad word. I'm just saying it's a good word. All right, go ahead, Dave Nelson.
I thought to you the other day when you gave that those 50 affirmations from Don Gossett, I thought that was pretty good. Those were really powerful. I mean, I actually took tonight and I wrote myself a message on that, and I found it, and I, you know, I always put some of that stuff in files so I can find it. But I thought, you know, that's a great mind renewal thing right there. I mean, you're going back over the word and its promises and what it says. And if you read those are, I got my video off. If you read those, you'll, you know, you have a really great place to renew your mind and get yourself back on track, you know, especially if you need a little, you know, reminder, you know, which we all do. So I just thought I'd mention that. I don't know if you want to read those or not.
I've got them. I'll tell you, man, there's not 50 of them, Dave. They ain't but 36 letters in the alphabet. Just saying. You're talking about these, aren't you? Don't look so sad. Look.
Well, no. I was thinking I got 50. Maybe somebody added to them.
No, you're talking about these that Claire had, A to Z.
Did you mention Dan Gossett the other day?
Yeah. This is
that, was that where Claire got those? Did you get those from Dan Gossett?
Yeah. Come in, Dave.
Can you? Yeah, I don't know. I guess so.
I guess that's what you're talking about, right?
I don't know.
A to Z faith healing verses.
Right, you got that, but there's also, you mentioned Don Gossett, right?
Well, that's who did that.
Oh, okay, all right. Because I found the thing, it says 50 affirmations, so that's...
Oh, yeah, the affirmations of faith. Yeah, he did that also.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, I'm sorry.
All right.
You did that. Right. Well, there's two that I've made this year.
No, you're all right. You're helping me because I'm understanding what you're talking about too.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Yeah, in fact, I've got them somewhere that I keep pretty handy myself. They're in my truck. I put it when I go walking. I go over affirmations of faith. Yeah, think it was 23 though. just messing with you. Go ahead, Patrick.
I need a few more though.
I'm okay.
I need a little more help.
Double duty.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of that. My camera keeps going off for some reason. Wonder why.
I was going to say something, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Michael. Just a quick thought that I was thinking about that verse that you mentioned. I think you're talking about be angry and sin not. And that next verse in there is talking about neither give place to the devil. And it was just the thought of what is a place for the devil? The devil is a spirit being. And what is a place that we are giving him? It's a spirit place. And that spirit place is obviously a place of thought or a place of a foundation that thought rests on or something within us. But as I was looking right up above those verses, Paul's commanding us in verse 24, and put on the new man. There I go, I'm out of here. Put on the new man that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Wherefore, then he just tells you certain things about, and I think it's related to this giving place or removing that place, whatever that place would be, or the places that would be, since we function in the old man, in the old ways, or in the, I think Claire mentioned it, you know, first, as she was talking about not being aware of certain things within us. And obviously, that's why the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And that, therefore, being guided into all truth, we're coming out of some form of deception in its various different forms. And that means that we having or becoming aware or enlightened about certain specific things, we then seek the Lord to have that changed or remove the thinking process or the foundation of thought that it's resting on. And it may in fact just be, it's one of those foundations or one of those things that are just resting in there that you have no awareness of that it's there. And I have to let Claire explain herself, I think, related to this abortion thing, as she didn't, I assume that you didn't really think that was right or wrong or something like that, but it was just there. It's kind of what I'm gaining from what you said, that it was just there, just popped out and it was there. Some things we just that are there, they just kind of bang around in there and find a resting place. And maybe the Lord wants us to, as we seek through his word and read through his word, it dislodges these things. I know one of the things that I hadn't really thought about it, and that was this thing of the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all that, you know, all the philosophy or theology that goes with that. I never really even thought about that stuff. And as I studied what David was saying through a couple of the messages, it started to make sense. And though I didn't see anything of that I would say radically deviant about the way I was thinking, it certainly, however, allowed me to appreciate the Lord with more appreciation, I guess, because of straightening that thinking out, what I was thinking before. So I don't know if I'm rambling, probably am, but I'll let it go. But I guess it's just the thought that there are positions of thought that are really spiritual. They are unseen. You can't go down and buy a thought somewhere. It's something that's in your mind and you're thinking. It is spiritual, whether it be mental or whatever. It's still of the spiritual realm. And those are the places that the spirits will attach to and can attach to. So I don't know, just that connection there is just kind of stood out at me for a second. Anyway, I'm out of here.
Amen, Patrick. Okay. Do y'all mind if I read you something from Dr. Dorothy Leach? She is a brain, not surgeon, but somebody that knows about the brain and the processes that it does, how it works and all of that stuff. And I think it'll help you understand why speaking the word is valuable. Yeah, that's it. Caroline, thank you, Greg. What do I call her, Dorothy? Well, it's Caroline Leach. I'm so glad that I got you here. I can't blow smoke anymore. All right, here we go. She says, the brain is much more synergistic and synchronized than people normally think. Rather than being right or left brain, people are actually using both sides of the brain constantly. Both sides of the brain communicate with one another. The brain actually duplicates all thoughts and stores them on each side, making a double copy of all input. Each side of the brain catalogs the information in an opposite way. The left side of the brain processes information, starting with the details, and moves toward the big picture. The right side of the brain processes the exact same information, but from the opposite direction, from big picture down to detail. This allows you to find the information stored in your brain in the manner that most applies to the current situation. And the brain is designed to operate in a way that allows you to sort information like a corn sorter. The longer you leave the machine on by focusing on a particular topic, the more the information is sorted and the better you understand the information and can draw upon it as necessary. In other words, the more you meditate on something, the more recall that you'll have of that information. The more focused your thinking is upon any one topic, the more memory space is allotted to that information, and the stronger that information / thought / memory becomes. In light of the tree illustration, I don't know what that is, we would say that the longer we focus on a thought, memory, or information, the stronger the tree branches become attached to the tree trunk. This means that if you only give passing attention to something, even though it is present in memory, it will be much more difficult to call to your remembrance. The memory will be more a twig than a branch and will likely be pruned off and forgotten. Do y'all understand what she said and meant? In other words, she's saying that in your brain, you have branches that connect some kind of way or other, but the more that you put the word in there, a particular word in there, the more that branch is solidified and the more recall you'll have of getting it back. And of course, we all know that. But it's you know, the Bible, the science proves the Bible, not the other way around. All right, anybody else? I actually think that this mind renewal goes a whole lot deeper than we realize at times. And that's kind of why I've been kind of looking into that a lot. Like, go ahead, Andrew.
So what you just said, Michael, if I'm going to go to John 14, I'm not discounting what you said, but this is the way God does it in John 14, verse 26, that he's going to, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So this tree idea is he's gonna make sure that twig remains a thicker branch for you to constantly remember, because it's gonna be done through the Holy Spirit. So that, and this recall is for everything. It's for having faith too, and the faith that worketh love, and for all the fruits of the Spirit. And this recall is through the Holy Spirit. So it's also the lifestyle that you're supposed to have. It's the blood of the Lamb, and it's the Word of God. And we abide in the name called the Word of God, because that's who Jesus is. And hallowed be thy name is the Father. Praise and glory to God. You started talking about the mind, and this thing came to mind, and I have to apply what you say to this verse, mm-hmm. for me to have that understanding. And the way you put it is they really understand how the mind works, its connections and stuff, but it's still the Holy Spirit that can connect it the best way it's supposed to be.
Amen. Well, I believe that.
I don't know if this woman is a believer or not. If she is.
Yes, she is. She is.
She's got to be given that verse.
Now, I don't know how deep a believer she is, you know.
Praise God.
Yeah, she goes around to a lot of churches and speaks, actually. Go ahead, Julie.
Something I was thinking about is when we get saved and we get born again, you know, we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. We're a new creature. And and God's the one that's doing the work in us as far as changing us, you know, but when the scripture was coming to my mind is about how he would give us a new spirit and a new heart. I can't remember exactly where that is, maybe in Ezekiel. Anyhow, what I was also thinking is in Hebrews 10:6, he's quoting from the Old Testament, that this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws on their heart, and upon their mind also I will write them. And he's, you know, we have to renew our mind. It's our spirit man that we're feeding. We're reading his word, you know, so that's what our spirit man is growing on. You know, we eat the word, we drink, you know, we eat his body, we drink his blood. And that's what transforms us. That's how I see it. You know, it's like we're new creatures in Christ. The old's gone, passed away, and we reckon ourselves dead to the old way of life, and we're learning to overcome how we used to think, whatever that may be, however we used to think, whether it was, you know, the religious stuff, you know, where God shows you something in his word and you repent because I thought it was something else. Like Andrew was saying about the meat of the word. It's a hard thing to understand, but it's actually, you know, you learned it was being a doer of the word. So, you know, it's all kinds of stuff that God is renewing our minds with. He's the one that's doing it. We're just, I think it's reading it, meditating on it, reading it out loud, hearing it over and over and over again. And like you were saying, speaking the word, speaking the promises. That's who God says that I am. That's what God says that I have. That's what he's given me. That's what Jesus paid for. That is what he, you know, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, and lacking nothing. It's overcoming how the carnal mind would think and react in a circumstance or, you know, in a trial or whatever is, you know, you only agree with what God says, and it's learning to overcome the mind of the flesh. That is our daily battle, but God's the one doing it. You know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And as in Romans 10 about you believe in your heart unto righteousness, and with your mouth you confess unto salvation. It's just the same thing. And you know, the tongue conquers the curse. That's a great, great, great book. And that's really it. It's overcoming the mind of the flesh too. You know, because our tongue is what gets us in trouble if we speak in disagreement with what God says.
Amen.
Amen. That's all I got.
Well, I was brought to mind, Andrew, about what came to my mind was Psalms 119. That whole psalm talks about meditating on the word. And also, well, it's actually all through from Psalms 1 all the way through to 145 is meditate on the word. Meditate on the word. And I believe about the Holy Spirit bringing things back to your remembrance. I think it's also incumbent upon us to, as you said, go ahead and meditate on the word as well. To read what, Dave? 119? Come on, man.
Well, you mentioned a few others too, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. But anyway, well, I think it's a combination of all of them. As a matter of fact, Andrew, I've been many times that when I've been years earlier when I was preaching, that the Lord would bring verses to my memory that I'd only read a couple of times, you know. You're right, he does that. But it's always better to do what he also says, and that's to meditate on the word. Anybody else? Yes, Greg, go ahead.
All right, I have to confess, I've come under heavy correction. I've deceived the body. No, the lady's name is Carolyn Leaf, and it's not Leach. And I just posted, if you want to know who and what she is, doesn't seem to be a terribly unintelligent woman. And she's come out of South Africa too, so she must be.
Did you say that she is not a terribly intelligent woman? Is that what you said?
No, she's not.
Oh, okay.
And unintelligent. Oh, well, she seems to be really smart.
Okay, thank you.
She studied stuff that didn't even I've looked at.
Okay. Yeah, that's exactly what it is, Julie. Oh, me. We taught that eighth grade English. I'm just saying. No, that's she is, though. I don't know, Greg, if you listened to her or any, but she's a pretty smart lady.
Oh, no, I've actually listened to her. She came to a place where I was going to church, basically.
Oh, really?
And I've heard her speak. You know, I think she did it once or twice while she was there. And she does have some very, very, very good things to say, as you probably know, Michael, about, the way the brain works, you know, and the incredible design and things that are going on there. So it's not psychology speak.
No.
I would agree. Yes, she. And I mean, having seen and looked at a little bit of her stuff, you know, she is a believer. Exactly how she's operating things of the spirit, I don't know. But there you go.
Yeah, she. I do know that she goes to Full Gospel churches also. So I don't know what she is, where she is in the walk, but she's learning. She's learning. Yeah. I know of a couple of instances where men of God have come to her and corrected her on some things as according to the Word of God, and she took it into advisement and went back and studied it and agreed with them. And that was what mind renewal was. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that. But she's when the Word of God is the truth, she accepts it. And that's heartening. Most scientists would do that. I guess you can call her a scientist. Is that right, Greg? Or just a doctor? Is she a doctor? I think she is. Yeah.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. She is a doctor, but I don't think she's a doctor. She would, but she's a PhD doctor. Maybe more than one of those.
Yeah. In brain physiology.
Yeah, there's a link there to her about page, and you can check it out. But I mean, some of the things she studied, I didn't even know what they are. So,
yeah, it's on my head too. Rian, hey, Rian, how you doing?
I am very well, thank you all. Good to see you all.
Good to see you. You haven't been down.
This has been very good.
You've been down in the tunnels today, haven't you?
I was supposed to go into the tunnels today, but it's just been too busy. So at least I could listen a little bit.
Okay.
Good deal. Be able to listen while I'm in the tunnels.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, we got just a few minutes left. Somebody got a prayer request or would like to comment some more. Hey, Missy, what's up, girl? Anybody got a prayer request? Go ahead, Missy. Go ahead, Missy.
I've been battling off and on today, a headache and muscle spasms. A headache in the left side of my head and muscle spasms in the right side of my back. And so I just would like some prayer, agreement. I don't receive it. I'm not under the curse. So while the spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death, and I speak to this pain in my body, and it must go in the name of Jesus. And these muscle spasms must stop, and this pain in my head must go. All pain must go in the name of Jesus. Jesus bore it for me. and it's not mine. You bore it on the cross. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the victory in Jesus' name and for the healing. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We hook our faith up. We're missing. We counted us so. You go from her pain. I don't care where you call yourself. You got to go in Jesus' name. The word says it. We spoke it. You got to go. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for the victory. Go ahead, Missy.
And I forbid it to move anywhere else. It must go and stay gone. And you don't move around Amen. In my body. And you...
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. All right, it's done. All right, Geneva.
I just want to thank the Lord and, well, yes, thank the Lord in advance that I think little girl is teething right now. So she's been kind of crying and whatnot, and she woke us up pretty late last night and stayed up with her for a while. But I just thank the Lord that she has the mind of Christ and that God has blessed her and that this little girl don't have to go through pain in Jesus' name, and that she doesn't have gas problems or teething problems or anything like that. Thank you, Lord. And Greg, thank you, Jesus. You know what is crazy? Isaac and Mariana, they were watching her today, and she's only 3 months, already wearing 6 to 9 month outfits. She a big girl, but she rolled over today, so that's pretty awesome. So thank the Lord that she is such a strong girl, strong through him.
Amen. I thank you, Lord, for teething her without any pain in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. She'll be eating corn on the cob before you know it. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Claire.
I just want to encourage Geneva to not even consider the bad report. I can say with all humility, I never even knew my children were teething. And I don't think that that's because I'm a great mom or they're great kids. I have real-time evidence of it being not that. But I don't think we need to ever accept what the world says. And I just want to encourage you that she's going to sleep well and you're just going to be speaking the good report, and those gums might be itchy, but I don't think there's going to be pain because they're not necessary. Thank you, Father, for giving my sister the faith and Morgan the faith to walk this road without any double-mindedness and full faith for a full mouth of teeth at the appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Isaac said, that's why she's wearing 9 months old clothes. You feed her 2 gallons of milk a day.
He's not lying.
Oh, my. Okay. Anyone else? What's that about rain?
I have a wedding at my house tomorrow for my nephew, Michael, and I was just commanding the rain away. It's been raining all week, so not tomorrow, though. Praise the Lord.
Not tomorrow.
And, in the name of Jesus. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Yes. Thank you, Father, for doing that. The wedding. Who's getting married? Nick getting married?
No, I wish. No, it's, I'm praying for that. There's someone out there for him. But it's my nephew and his fiance. So they just wanted a simple wedding. So they're just doing it in my backyard. So
okay. All right. Lord, we thank you for another beautiful day for him. In Jesus' name. Amen. But Lord, we just thank you for a night of good talk and good revelations. And Lord, we just ask that you place it in our heart to do that, to run after you, Lord. Time is short. We need to renew our mind to you completely. And I want to get to that point to where I'm walking, talking, and looking like you, Jesus. because I love you so much. You've turned my life around. And I've seen many, many, many great things that you've done, Lord. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for turning us all around. And little Jesus is walking around. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. What is that? What is that? Who's doing that? Vanita, is that you?
Oh, is that me? Sorry. Yep, I think it is. I'm not muted. I was typing.
Oh. Thought you were peeling potatoes.
Oh, I didn't know what you were doing. I thought you had a little rap going on there or something.
I didn't know the keyboard on the phone made a noise. I was being so quiet.
Yeah, it was going toom, 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 toom. All right. Bless y'all. We'll see y'all. What is this? This is third. We'll see y'all Tuesday. Amen. Bye, y'all. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
God bless everybody.